الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the creator of this universe, the one who, out of his wisdom, knowledge, love, and all of the qualities that he has as a creator, did an amazing thing. And that amazing thing that he did was so amazing that after doing it, he congratulated himself. So there was something so amazing in his creation that was never done before, right? And that was the creation of a human being. After creating the human being, he said, congratulations to your own self. Because it was something that no other creation can understand, what he has created that is so awesome and amazing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With all of its angles and all of his knowledge, with all of his perception and all that he has, he said, I've created something that is going to be the weakest in body, but the strongest in soul. Two extremes. The weakest in body, but the strongest in soul. How strong? I put inside of him my soul. See? I put inside of him my soul. Meaning what? This soul is so amazing, is so awesome, is so great that I am giving the association to myself. Right? When you like somebody a lot, you say he's from me. Right? When you want to give honor to somebody, and if somebody is great and they were to say to you, you are from me, it is an honor. Right? If Imam Zaman al-Sattuslam, when he comes, he introduces himself. And he was to come inside and he was to say that you are from me. Out of all of the people here, if he associates himself to you, it is one of the biggest honors that can be bestowed upon any of us. Right? So what is the awesomeness, what is the amazing part? That you have the weakest of body, but you have the strongest of the soul. How weak are we? We are weaker than an ant. Yeah. Body-wise, we're weaker than an ant. Not aunt. I don't know if you... The English accent... Is it ant or aunt? Ant. Ant. Yeah. So the weakest... Like, for example, an ant can lift 10 times or 20 times the weight that it has. With me? It can lift even actually greater than that, but let's just to get our minds together. Because there's 8,000 different species of ants, and there are 250 trillion ants in the world. What? 8,000 different species. Right? 250 trillion. How many human beings? 7 billion. Compare 7 billion to 250 trillion. The people who are good in math, you take out the ratio. Let's say 10 times. If I was as strong as the ant, I would be able to lift, I won't tell you my weight, right? But approximately, I would be able to lift 1,500 pounds. If I happen to, let's say, weigh 150 pounds, for example, inshallah, maybe after my Ramadan, right? So after not feasting, but fasting. This is the month of fasting, not feasting, right? If I'm 150 pounds and I could lift 10 times more than my own weight, it would be what? 150 times 10, which would be what? About 1,500 pounds, right? I cannot even lift my own weight. But an ant can lift 10 times its weight. Who's stronger? The ant. Right? It's logical. If I was to jump as high as a grasshopper, I would clear a few football fields. How high can I jump, Muslim? Not my own height. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, out of all of the carbon-based entities that I've created, even including the other planets and trillions of stars and so forth, this weakest of carbon-based bodies, with the strongest of the soul metaphysical being that I have created, they're going to be joined together. And in this weakness, this being is going to elevate itself and become the best of my creations. And that pull that we have from our body, there is a pull. From our soul, there is a pull. And we're being pulled from both sides. And both of the poles are so strong that if somebody can control that, they can become the best of his creations, for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala congratulated himself. Right? So how many... Aghar did not do the summary today. Right? I was hoping he would do the summary, then I don't have to do it. Right? But if you remember yesterday, because we only have a few... you know, a few hours we had with you. So it's important that maybe something we can take from these 3 or 4 hours that we were together. It's more of a learning process, and the more you repeat something and recall something, the more you learn and memorize. So we said that we have tabi'at, and we have fitrat. You know, tabi'at is looking for equilibrium. What is fitrat looking for? We didn't give you that answer yesterday. I don't think we did. Fitrat is looking for itminan. Fitrat is looking for itminan. Itminan in English, I mean, if you roughly translate it, it's looking for peace and tranquility. The opposite of stress and depression. What is fitrat looking for? The opposite of stress and depression. What is the condition of the world that we live in? They say in America, out of 10 people, 8 are depressed. And I think the other 2 are in denial. They probably are depressed too, but they're denying that they're depressed. Right? So if you look at the stats, the human being's fitrat is actually what it's been looking for. It doesn't have it. Because the stress and depression is there, right? So the fitrat is looking for itminan. How are you going to be able to get rid of stress and depression if you have itminan, right? How do you get itminan? Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Be aware, be reminded. There is no other way, ala. That it is only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the hearts find peace and tranquility. So if you do not have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guess what's going to take the place in your heart? Stress and depression. So the more human beings fitrah gets disconnected from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the byproduct is going to be stress and depression, and the pharmaceutical companies are going to make millions and trillions of dollars. Without doing anything. The whole mechanism, the whole machinery that is there is to get you to that point where you feel bored, you're not contented, you're not satisfied, you do not want to feel that peace and tranquility. You get your phone, oh, nice phone. Which one is it? Note 3. Oh, you just have Note 3. Note 4 is out. Which phone do you have? iPhone 4. iPhone 4, are you living in the dinosaur age? You know? It's like iPhone 6 is out. You know, maybe I should get iPhone 6. What do you get? What's the product of that? Stress? Every time you take the phone out in public, maybe somebody will see you say, you know, I'm living in dinosaur age. You get stressed. Right? If you look at the whole mechanism of this machinery, it is there to produce a byproduct, and that is stress and depression. How would this change? This would change once the fitrat starts getting connected with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with every single aspect of their life. When they look at the phone, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even through the phone, when you look at it, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at the phone, Dua Kumail is playing, Quran is playing. Now, what is this phone source of? Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you going to get the byproduct now? Stress? No. If somebody says to you, you're in the dinosaur age by having iPhone 4, you say, Alhamdulillah, because this phone is giving me the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough. The same screen is going to be, I'll be able to read Quran from it and so forth. What's the big deal? You slowly, slowly start getting contented. Right. So what is tabiat looking for? Equilibrium. What is fitrat looking for? Peace and tranquility. How would tabiat find equilibrium? Tabiat? How would I find equilibrium? Jab wo theek hogi. Tabiat tumhari theek rehti hai. What happens with tabiat is basically the equilibrium we're talking about, right? So let's say you are thirsty. What was the state of equilibrium for your body before? Not to be thirsty. So what are you going to do to find that equilibrium? You're going to go towards drink of water. Your sugar level goes down. What is the equilibrium now? To bring your sugar up to that optimum level that you're not hungry anymore. So what are you going to go after? Sugar or food. Right? But what happens if you take more sugar or food? What happens then? Then you still don't have equilibrium. You are only supposed to eat enough that your tabiat gets that equilibrium. But if now you have eaten so much, now again it's imbalanced. There's no equilibrium. You remember last year what I told you how much you can eat? Does anybody remember? Especially for my Ramadan is coming, so you're going to maybe some days open your fast and then pray namaz, right? And Mulana was saying yesterday that if it is such, you can do that. What I mentioned to you was that you eat enough that after eating you can read 2 rakat namaz easily. Itna khaye ki aap khane ke baad 2 rakat namaz shukrana ada kar sake. Ki jab ruku mein jaye to aisa na ho ki ruku na kar paye. Jab sujood mein jaye to aisa na ho ki sajda ki wo jo halat hai wo aapke ikhtiyar mein na rahe. Theek hai? یعنی اس انداز میں نہ کھائیں کہ اس کے بعد آپ 2 رکعت نماز نہ ادا کر سکیں. ٹھیک ہے؟ اگر اتنا کھا لیا اس کا مطلب ہے کہ یہ اب ایکویلیبریم خراب ہو گیا. ٹھیک ہے؟ اور the mechanism or the machinery works out this way. It says you eat as much as you want until you can't eat anymore. And when you cannot eat anymore, have some Pepsi. It's good for your digestion. Have some Pepsi and then eat some more. And once you have eaten and you cannot eat anymore and you've had your Pepsi, then have some dessert. Because the space for dessert is separate. And then if you once you've had dessert and now, you know, after half an hour or so, then you should eat again because it is optimum to eat every hour or so. So what's happening in the world now? The tabiat is finding equilibrium, but it's not getting with the most advanced technology. And people are getting their bodies You know, toxins inside, cancer inside, blood pressure issues, cholesterol issues, right? Arthritis in young age. Right? So many different diseases that we never even heard of before. What fasting does? What does fasting do? Fasting brings even your tabiat on equilibrium. You'll see, if you follow that, what we said to you in the first, that you don't eat like five different types of pakoras and, you know, have your samosa and chaat and all this. No, that's feasting. That's not fasting. One or two rotis, you know, enough. Okay, little one pakora, you know, a little bit of chaat. Okay, just to wet the palate and get rid of that, you know, want. But just do that in my Ramadan. What will happen is your body will get detoxified. Your toxins that are inside of your body, they will get removed. And you'll get more healthier and your tabiat will be at equilibrium. What happens to your soul in my Ramadan? What was your fitrat looking for? It's Minan. When you are constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the time that you started your fast in the time of Maghribain, guess what's going to happen? You'll find it Minan. Maslan, I'll give you an example. Somebody's having water, you're fasting. What do you say to yourself? I'm fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time you're thirsty, you remember who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time you're hungry, who are you going to remember? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So throughout the whole day that you're fasting, you're constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my Ramadan is the best time for your tabi'at and for your fitrat. And what's actually what they're looking for? Fitrat is looking for itminan, peace and tranquility, and tabi'at is looking for equilibrium, which is also something that is a byproduct of my Ramadan. Right? So what is it that you're able to achieve after this is done? After the 30 days? What will happen? You will find an equilibrium for your tabiat, and you will find peace and tranquility for your fitrat. And for the rest 11 months, if you can carry on with that, your whole year will be
perfect. MashaAllah.
Will be perfect, 100%. You will be healthy. You'll be at peace. Tell me who's not looking for these two. Right? And the month of my Ramadan gives you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I made this an obligation on you as I did upon the previous people so that you can achieve God conscious. Taqwa here we're going to translate as God conscious because we mentioned that to you yesterday as well. You become God conscious when? When you start thinking like your creator. Are you with me? How did Imam Ali thought? What was his thought process? Imam ki sochne ka tarika kya tha?
Kya baat?
Imam kis tarah se sochte the? Imam jab ek cheez ko dekhte to kis andaaz mein dekhte the? Unki jahanbini kya thi?
Kya baat? Kya?
Unki jahanbini zahir hai kirdaar se niklegi. Character se niklegi. Right? Iman se niklegi, taqwa se niklegi, in sari chizon se niklegi, ilm se niklegi, hilm se niklegi, kizm se niklegi, in sari sifat se niklegi na, kiski sifat thi Imam Ali alayhi sallallahu alayhi sallam ke kirdar mein? Kiski thi? Khuda ki thi? Khuda ki sifat jo unke kirdar ke andar thi, un sifat se jab wo dunya ko dekhte the, to us andaaz se dekhte the, ke ek makhlouk jo hai, wo apne khalik ke andaaz se dunya ko dekhte. میرا خالق کیسا ہے میرا خالق بچوں پہ مہربان ہے مجھے کیسا ہونا چاہیے My creator is merciful on orphans and on little kids. How should I be? I should be merciful to orphans and little kids. Although I am the bravest person alive and there is nobody who can stand in front of my sword, but I will let go of that, cook food for these kids and feed them. Although I am the ruler of the time, but if I find space on dirt, I'll sit down on it. Right? So when a person becomes God conscious, which is one of the translations you can do of taqwa, what happens is that the person starts thinking on the same wavelength as I'm a masumin al-masumin. And then the world looks very different. Enemies that you were thinking before are not enemies anymore, they're friends. The enemies that you thought these are enemies, they're friends. And the friends you thought before are actually enemies. If you start looking through the eyes of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the biggest enemy you will find is someone who has the authority over people who does not deserve to be in that position. That's the biggest enemy. And then he says that a person like me cannot do bi'ah of a person like him. So look at this. In 30 days, if you practice correctly, and you can even, like one or two things about the perception of I'm a masumin, you can start looking at the world, your life will change. Our communities will change. And then of course there are many higher levels of fasting, which I don't know if we should go into, but maybe a little bit, right? Because it might be tomorrow, it might be the next day, so we don't have time. You know how many types of fast there are? Three types of fast. One fast is of the body, which you and I would do. With me? One fast is of the body, which you and I would do. What invalidates that fast? You have those things that invalidate. If you were to drink water or eat or associate a lie to the Prophet or I'm a Masumin and so forth and so forth. This is a one type of fast. What would be the byproduct of that fast? If you were to do that. What did you gain? Hunger and thirst. Imam Ali says there are many people who fast and all they get is? Hunger and thirst. There's a second type of fast, and that is the fast of the soul. With me? Second type of fast is? Fast of the soul. That type of fast is that the soul refrains from ghibat. No ghibat goes in. Just like no water goes in the body. With me? The fast of the soul is that no backbiting goes inside. No chughalkhori goes inside. No lying comes outside. Right? That the whole day, from Fajr till Maghrib, this person, the fast of the soul is, that this person is not going to get anything inside that the soul, it is harmful for the soul. If you do ghibat, what happens to the fast of the soul? Gone. You do ghibat, your body is still fasting because you didn't have water. But if you did ghibat or I did ghibat, what happens to my fast of the soul is gone. And what will happen in the end? I will only get the byproduct of hunger and thirst. There was a person, he came to the Holy Prophet as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to the Prophet offered some food to him. He said, you know, thank you very much, I am fasting. The Prophet is asking him to eat, and he's saying, thank you very much, I'm fasting. The Prophet said, no, please eat. He's like, no, I'm fasting. The Prophet said, please do eat. Can you see the irony of this conversation? The Prophet is saying, eat. And he's saying, I'm fasting. So after the Prophet said about two or three times, and the person refused, a piece of meat fell from his teeth into his lap. A bloody piece of meat, it was with blood, came out of his teeth, fell on his lap. And he looks at it and he's like very astonished. And says to the Prophet, I didn't eat anything all day. Where is this piece of meat coming from my teeth? Ye gosht ka lotra kahan se aage, main to subah se kuch nahi khaya. The Prophet said, before coming to me, did you do ghibat? Did you do backbiting? And he said, yes. The Prophet showed him when the soul, the fast of the soul gets invalidated by ghibat, the actual state of it. Through those eyes that the Prophet had, he opened those eyes for him for a little while. So he can understand that if I do ghibat when I'm fasting, the soul no longer has a fast because you've eaten the dead flesh of your dead brother. That you have feasted on the body of your dead brother's meat. And we do that. And then afterwards when we come here, we take the khajur and looking at everybody, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِنَّا اللَّهُمَّ لَكَ صُمْتُ وَعَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَرِزْقُكَ أَفْطَرْتُ. Alhamdulillah, one down and
29 to go.
When you fast of the soul, when the fast of the soul happens, if you are able to do even one fast of the soul in the whole 30 days, that month of my Ramadan would be the best month of your whole life. That one fast will change your life, would be worth a whole lifetime worth of fasting of the body. One fast. Insan ko rooh ka roza rakhna chahiye. Theek hai? Aur mazay ki baat kya hai? Ki rooh ka roza khuda ke zikr ko andar lane se tootta.
Wah, 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 wah.
The fast of the body gets invalidated as soon as you put something inside, even if it's dirt. Forget about water. But the soul, the fast of the soul doesn't get broken by having the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come inside. But what happens, what? It just gets more brighter and brighter and brighter. Right? It gets more and more easier and easier and easier. Right? What is the third type of fast? That third type of fast is the fast of the thoughts. Okay? So the first type is the fast of the body. The second type is the fast of the soul, and the third type is the fast of the
thoughts.
I'll explain something to you about the brain, and scientifically there's a lot of research that is being done on the brain, and still it's in infancy process. It's very, very low. There's still a lot more that they need to find out. But as they go along in their research, and science does that, you know, something that a prophet comes and tells them 1400 years ago, they find out after 1400 years, oh, that, you know, it was right. Baba, why didn't you just accept it 1400 years ago? Now your research could have gone 1400 years ahead. Nay, Imam Ali al-Hassan told the circumference of the moon. Nowadays, and just not too long ago, they found out that what Imam gave the number and what they found out is like a 0.005% of error margin, and the number was right. If you had accepted that at, you know, 1400 years ago, today it's not one moon. You would have traveled to 1,000 moons, and still today Russia would not be putting you in a court deciding whether you actually went to the moon or not. So, the brain that we have is actually the connection between the body, which is your tabiat, and your fitrat, which is your soul. In between, the connection there is in your brain. What happens in your body, it gets into the brain, it translates the information into that language, the packets that can be given to the rest of the levels of your existence. Your soul does something, that language is transferred into the language that is acceptable by the body, and the brain translates it and affects the body. Were you with me? The people who are in IT, they understand that, you know, when you have a language that you are inputting, like this is Hassan does not go through the internet as this is Hassan. It goes into which language? Binary language. With me? In binary language, it gets transferred through the network and gets to the other end, and the computer translates that binary language into the other screen and says, this is Hassan. Are you with me? Yes or no? When you guys are texting, it's a lot more closer to your heart, right? When you are texting, you're saying, hey, what's up? How are you, Muslim? And for Muslims, you know, this is a wrong way to start the conversation. Hey. Right? Yo. If a Muslim is going to communicate to another Muslim, they should say what? Salaam alaikum. And we are so becoming so comfortable that we don't even want to write Salaam alaikum. What do we write? Sa. S-A. Aga, you are praying for this person by saying Salaam alaikum. Why don't you write properly? Salaam alaikum is a prayer. It's not a greeting, it's a prayer. You're saying, may the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you. It's a prayer. And then what do you say? Wa alaykum as-salam. May the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you too. You're starting your conversation with Allah and prayers for each other. When you're asking for peace and blessings for each other, you cannot fight after that. You cannot argue after that. You cannot have hate for each other after that. جب آپ نے کسی کو سلام علیکم کہہ دیا اس کے بعد جا کے کہا آپ صاحب آپ کو پتہ آپ نے یہ جو بات کی تھی آپ نے کیا کیا تھا آپ نے ماشاء اللہ یہ کیا وہ کیا آگا ایک پہلے کیا مطلب ہے پہلے دعا دی مجھے پہلے دعا دی کہ خدا آپ پر نعمتیں اور بلیسنگ جو ہیں وہ نازل کرے اس کے بعد آ کے آپ مجھ پہ گرج رہے اور مجھے میری توہین کر رہے مائنڈ بنا لیں اپنا آپ کہ میرے لیے آپ دعا گو ہیں یا نہیں ہے تو یو انڈرسٹینڈ دیٹ وین یو آر ٹیکسٹنگ ٹرائی ٹو ڈو دیٹ سلام علیکم اسٹارٹ ود دیٹ اینڈ اٹ از یو گوئنگ ٹو بی ریوارڈیڈ بیکاز یو آر پریئنگ فار سم باڈی اینڈ دے ول سے وعلیکم السلام یو آر گیٹنگ ریوارڈیڈ اینڈ یور کنورسیشن وڈ بی بیٹر ٹھیک ہے سو وین یو رائٹ سلام علیکم ان یور ٹیکسٹ that gets translated into another language which gets translated into another language which gets translated into a signal through the copper wire, the signal in electricity, it transfers, it goes in the speed of?
Microseconds,
okay. Huh? How long does it take for your text to get to Pakistan? Maybe not even 1 second. Huh? How many? Does anybody know? Nanosecond? Yeah. How far is Pakistan? Pretty far. Right? So now what you have said travels a distance, a great distance, very, very quickly. What happens is, if my body is getting hungry, the signals are going to go to the brain, and the brain is going to process the information and convert it into a language and throw it out as a signal to the soul, and the soul is going to think that your body is hungry. But if you haven't disassociated yourself from the body and the soul, guess what the soul is going to think? Please answer that. What do you think the soul is going to think? I am hungry. When your soul doesn't need a pakora. Your soul doesn't need, you know, biryani or korma or nihari. What needs that? Who needs that? Your body. What does your soul want? Zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The food for your soul is Quran. The food for your soul is Quran, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the du'as, is the hadith of Imam Masumin al-Imsan that can make your dead souls become back to life. The food for your soul is this majlis. Your souls are being fed right now. Right? But how would you know, when would you say that when you disassociate yourself, I am not this body, I am soul, and there are needs of my fitrat that are different than the needs of my tabiat. Okay? And this that is going on, okay, I'll convince you, don't worry. Or maybe I'll try, okay? This relationship, I'll give you another example. Have you seen a puppet show? I don't know if I gave you this example before or not, but anyway. Have you seen a puppet show? देखा ना आगा पाकिस्तान में भी ऐसा होता था वो पुतले होते थे छोटे छोटे उनके साथ तारें लगी होती थी और वो एक हाथ होता जो हिलता था और फिर पुतले हिलते थे ना और हम जब छोटे होते थे तो वो हम कहते थे यार ये जिंदा है ना राइट द पपेट शो द पपेटियर हैज द हैंड इज मूविंग एंड द लाइंस आर कनेक्टेड विद दैट पपेट एंड इट इज मेड ऑफ लेट्स से फिशिंग लाइन एंड यू कैन सी द लाइंस एंड यू द किड्स आर लुकिंग एंड दे सेइंग वाओ दिस इज अलाइव आई डोंट नो. When you grow up, you say, well, putla, the puppet, in itself is not alive. The reason why this puppet is moving is because of the strings that are attached to the hands. It's the hand that is alive is moving the puppet. Right? You got the example? It's in your mind. In front of you is that puppet. This body of mine is that puppet. There are strings attached. And the soul is the one moving this puppet. But we don't have the eyes to actually see the strings. And we don't have the eyes to see the hand that is moving it. So what do you think? This puppet is alive. Hazrat Malakul Maut, alayhi salatu wasalam, he comes and what does he do? He cuts the lines. He cuts those lines, and then if he was to cut the lines right now, I would ask him to wait for another half an hour, if he has to. But if he has to, you know, wait for half an hour, and then when he comes and he cuts the lines, and then I'll just fall down like this, and what would you say? Hassan is inna lillah. I didn't go anywhere. Just like the hand doesn't go anywhere. The hand is still there. The puppet has fallen down because the connection is severed. But now actually the hand is more free. Before the hand was occupied with the movement. With the movement of that puppet, now the hand doesn't have to worry about the movement of the puppet. The hand does not have to worry about the sugar level is going up or down, or cholesterol going up or down, or BP going up or down. Doesn't have to worry any of that. Doesn't have to worry about pain, doesn't have to worry about arthritis, doesn't have to worry about, oh, you know, I'm cold or I'm hot. Right. Simple example. But it is the closest probably to the reality. Okay? And we put so much importance on that puppet. Okay? उस गुड़िया के लिए गुड़िया गुड़ा होता है क्या गुड़िया और क्या उसका दूसरा क्या गुड्डा वैसे वो बच्चे होते हैं ना वो गुड़िया और गुड्डे के साथ खेलते रहते हैं सारा दिन उनकी देखभाल करते हैं कभी बाल जो है उनके सीधे कर रहे होते हैं कभी लिबास को ठीक करते हैं उनको कभी खाना खिलाते हैं उनको चाय पिलाते हैं उनके लिए घर बनाते हैं उनको जो है वैसे उनके लिए करते रहते हैं वो उधर जा रहे हैं ये कर वो कर बच्चे ये काम करते हैं हम ये सब काम करते सुबह से शाम तक या गुड़िया या गुड्डा ये जो जिस्म है हमारा जो कि खुद से कुछ भी नहीं है उसकी सारी देखभाल कर देते हैं कभी बाल सवारे होते हैं कभी लिबास के लिए बड़ी होते हैं कभी इधर जा रहे हैं कभी ये ड्रामा कर रहे हैं वो ड्रामा कर रहे हैं कभी इधर पार्टिसिपेशन हो रही है उधर पार्टिसिपेशन मैं कहती ये दुनिया जो है लहव लहाब है दिस वर्ल्ड इज नथिंग बट अ पेजेंट्री A drama. You come in, you wear certain hats, you act You're old and you die. The role, hat of a father. You go home, you wear the hat of a father. Now what are you? A father. For example, me, I wear the hat of Molanza. What are you now? Molanza. Hat of a husband, hat of a brother, hat of a son, hat of... All of these hats are a sales associate, a marketing specialist, an IT professional, an accountant, an engineer, a lawyer, doctor. Your soul is much above all of that. And my Ramadan is the best month that you can become aware of yourself. Because you're not now taking care of this good day and good deed. You're taking care of your soul. For 30 days, if you do that, you will have enough strength not to sin again. If you can listen to that carefully, we'll end it on this one. When you're really, really thirsty and nobody's watching you, do you drink water when you're fasting or you don't? You don't. Nobody's watching you. Yeah, well, that somebody's watching all the time, right? Yeah? When you're really, really hungry, you open the fridge and you see all the nice food and, you know, grapes and anar and bananas. Nobody's watching. Do you eat? Why? Because you say to yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. If you can build that God consciousness after my Ramadan is over, nobody's watching, I can look at that program. I can look at that website. Nobody's watching. But you won't look at it because you've already gotten yourself to the point that Allah is watching. Just like you didn't drink water or food, just like that you will not look at that website. You won't look at that program. Because you build that strength. You will say, I've already gone through such a hardship and I've gotten that strong. Why should I, you know, fall down on such a small thing that has no value? آپ خلوت میں بھی گناہ نہیں کریں گے. جب آپ اکیلے ہوں گے اپنے ساتھ آپ گناہ نہیں کریں گے. کیوں؟ کیونکہ آپ نے یہ آلریڈی دکھا دیا اپنے آپ کو. You should believe in yourself. ساتھ ہے؟ I guess 5 minutes کے لیے ابھی ایک علیحدہ نقطہ ہے. You should believe in yourself or you should believe in Allah سبحانہ وتعالیٰ. جی؟ Should believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what would be the end result? Eh? If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will believe that every single thing that you do is not from you but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you believe that everything that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no weakness, has no nooks, has no defect, it's not incomplete. Right? If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you will be doing with your own self, your confidence level is even going to go higher than having self-confidence. If you have God confidence, you will be among the people a lot more hard-working, successful, and stronger than other people who believe in their own self. Example, if you go in a fight and I have, for example, one of my brothers here who's really good in boxing, right? And mashallah, he's strong. So if I'm walking with him and there's somebody who wants to come and hurt me, am I going to be scared? Do I have confidence in myself? No. I don't have confidence in myself because I won't be able to face those 5 people. But I know that my brother is here and he will take care of those 5 people. So what am I going to have? I'm going to have more confidence. I'm like, yeah, you want to fight? Muslim. Yes or no? Yeah? If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that you know that He is with you, then bring on. Bring who you want to bring. Bring all the superpowers in the world, come together, come. I'm not afraid. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has the Almighty, who is all powerful, who has created everyone. You are the weakest of the creation, you come, no problems. Look at my confidence. Right? And in this particular month of my Ramadan, you can build God consciousness. There was a few things that we mentioned. If we have the opportunity tomorrow, again, we will talk more about the anger aspect of it, because we did say that we will talk a little bit more on that issue. Again, if there's any question, alhamdulillah, you know, please do ask. If not, then I can go a little bit of review of what we said about anger. Okay. So what we said yesterday about anger is that anger is built in into your blood as an animal instinct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed that in there for you to defend yourself and go away from things that are harmful for you. Okay. Animals also have this two instincts. One is to go close, one is to go away. And this instinct that you have, there's a purpose for it. Anger has a purpose. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that inside of you. If we did not have the power of anger, anybody could have come and taken our wealth, our health, anything they wanted, and we would not defend ourselves. Right? But when this instinct is utilized in the wrong manner, then it is haram. But if it is utilized in the right manner, then it is any deen. It's no different than religion. The whole of the religion is this: love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at all of religion, it kind of boils down like this. So, to control it, I give you a few things how to control your anger. Remember? So if you don't remember, you can go on YouTube and find out what it was. Okay? So, this is the good part about technology, right? It is as if I will never leave you. Right? As long as you have those videos, you know, as if I have never left you. Right? You'll always go back and look at it again and again. So, on the Day of Judgment, nobody would have any excuse. Right? Because I was always with you. Right? But the other part about anger that I can tell you is that, you know, when it comes to our community, it's something that, you know, has divided our resources, has become a very big problem, right? Just remember that you do not want to be the one person who is going to create a fire that will take up the whole of the community. In every community, there's always 4 to 5 people who start these fires, and the rest of the people stay on the sidelines. They don't do anything of those fires. Or फिर आग भरती भरती पूरी community को जो है वो जला देती है. इसलिए अगर आपको गुस्सा करना है, तो आप गुस्सा खुदा के लिए करें. गुस्सा खुदा के लिए अखलाक के दायरे से बाहर नहीं होता. اگر کبھی بھی آپ نے غصہ کیا اور وہ اخلاق کے دائرے سے باہر ہوا, وہ خدا کے لیے غصہ نہیں تھا, وہ اپنے نفس کے لیے تھا. ساتھ اگر آپ نے کسی کو کوئی چیز سمجھانی ہے اور غصے سے سمجھانی ہے, تو اخلاق کے دائرے میں رہتے ہوئے, دائرے سے باہر نکلیں گے, پھر وہ غصہ حرام غصہ ہے. کیسے کرنا ہے؟ مثلاً چھوٹی سی ایگزامپل, 4 لوگ کھڑے, آپ نے دیکھا کہ اس شخص نے ایک غلط کام کیا, آپ کیا کریں گے؟ ان 4 لوگوں کے درمیان میں اگر اس شخص پہ غصہ کریں گے, ہو سکتا ہے آپ کا حق بنتا ہو, تو وہ توہین کے زمرے میں آئے گا.
کیا بات!
اس کو خدا, اس کے ملائکہ لکھ دیں گے کہ اس شخص نے توہین کی. ٹھیک ہے, اگر آپ اس شخص کو سائٹ پہ لے کے جا کے جہاں پہ کوئی شخص آپ کو دوسرا سن نہیں رہا, اس شخص کو امر بالمعروف و نہی عن المنکر کرتے ہیں اور غصے کے ساتھ کریں, کوئی ایسا مسئلہ نہیں, ایموشنز دکھا کے, اب ان کو بتائیں وہاں پہ ملائکہ لکھیں گے اس نے اس کی اصلاح کی. دیکھیں کتنا فرق ہے. ملائکہ ایک جگہ پہ لکھ رہے ہیں توہین گناہ کبیرہ, دوسری جگہ پہ لکھ رہے ہیں اصلاح صلح جو کہ حسنات میں سے. ہمارے درمیان میں کیا ہوتا ہے, وہ شخص جو ہے دس بندوں کے درمیان میں اس شخص کا ایسا غصہ ہوتا ہے, ایسی توہین کرتا ہے کہ پھر بعد میں مثلا وہ شخص شاید دوبارہ نہ آئے اور نہ کبھی اس کو سلام کرے. آہستہ آہستہ کمیونٹیز ٹوٹ جاتی ہیں. تو یہ جو غصہ خدا کے لیے کرنا ہے یہ عین دین ہے, اس کو ہمیں سیکھنا پڑے گا. ماہ رمضان کے اندر کوشش کریں سیکھنے کی, غصہ آپ کو بہت چڑھے گا. رمضان میں غصہ بہت چڑھتا ہے اسپیشلی جب افطاری کے ٹائم سے پہلے, اور ہمارے پتہ نہیں 19 گھنٹے کے روزے ہیں تو غصہ تو بہت چڑھے گا. ابھی سے میں کہہ رہا ہوں آپ کو, میں بھی کہہ رہا ہوں, تیاری کر رہے. لیکن یہ جو 2-3 گھنٹے ہوں گے نا اس میں غصہ چلے گا. اب آپ کے پاس بہترین موقع ہے کہ آپ اس کو کنٹرول میں لے کر, اگر آپ اس کو کنٹرول میں لے آئے تو باقی کے مہینوں میں آپ ڈیفینیٹلی اپنے غصے کو کنٹرول میں کر سکیں. ٹھیک ہے, ان شاء اللہ تعالیٰ علامیہ ہمیں اور توفیق دیں اور اسی طرح سے ہو. Is there any questions you can ask? Yes.
ایک حدیث ہے 8 امام سے منسوب ہے, جب ان سے کسی نے پوچھا کہ ایمان کیا ہے تو انہوں نے کہا کہ ایک وقت ایسا آنے والا ہے جب ایمان کے 9 درجے جو ہیں وہ گوشہ نشینی ہوگی اور 1 درجہ خاموشی ہوگی. اس حدیث سے کیا مراد ہے, اور جب ہم کمیونٹی میں عوام کے درمیان, ہم خود بھی عوام میں سے ہیں, جب عوام کے درمیان موو کرتے ہیں تو ڈفرینٹ مینٹلٹی کے لوگ ہوتے ہیں, ان کے ساتھ کس طریقے سے پیش آ جائے بیماری غصے کی بیماری سے بچ سکے؟
دیکھیں اس حدیث سے تو پھر جو سمجھ میں آئے گا وہ یہ کہ گھر میں بیٹھ جائیں, لوگوں کے ساتھ انٹریکشن نہ کریں. اصل میں کیا ہے واقعی, میں آپ کو ایک اور حدیث بتاؤں گا اور تھوڑا سا سینیریو بلڈ کروں گا. ٹھیک ہے, ایک شخص ایک شہر سے آیا ہے چھٹے امام کے پاس, تو امام نے اس شخص سے کہا کہ تم جس شہر سے آئے ہو وہاں پہ تم اپنے ہمارے شیعوں کو یہ کیوں نہیں بتاتے کہ وہ ہمارے لیے باعث زینت بنے نہ کہ باعث شرم. ساتھ ہیں کونو لنا زینہ ولا تکونو لنا شینہ, کہ ہمارے لیے باعث زینت بنے نہ کہ باعث شرم. تو وہ شخص جو تھا اس نے کہا کہ آقا میں بتاتا ہوں لیکن لوگ جو ہے میری بات نہیں سنتے. ساتھی لوگ میری بات نہیں سنتے. تو امام اس کے لیے کہتے ہیں کہ پھر تم اپنی دوسری ذمہ داری کو کیوں نہیں ادا کرتے. تو امام سے کہتے ہیں آقا وہ کون سی ذمہ داری ہے امام؟ امام اسے کہتے ہیں کہ تم ان کے مجلسوں کو کیوں نہیں ترک کرتے؟ چاہتے ہیں کہ آپ ان کی مجلسوں کو کیوں نہیں ترک کرتے؟ اور وہ کیوں امام نے کہا, وہ اس وجہ سے کہا کہ وہ شخص پڑھا لکھا شخص تھا, امام کے ساتھ اس کی نسبت تھی. جب وہ شخص ان کی مجلسوں میں بیٹھتا تھا تو دوسرے دیکھنے والے کہتے تھے کہ یہ لوگ ٹھیک ہوں گے, کیونکہ اگر یہ لوگ ٹھیک نہ ہوتے تو پھر یہ شخص ان کی مجلس میں نہ بیٹھا ہوتا جو امام کا شاگرد ہے جو خود عالم ہے. پھر امام نے اس شخص کے لیے کہا کہ تم اس ذمہ داری کو کیوں نہیں ادا کرتے کہ ان کی مجالس کو ترک کر دو. اگر یہاں پہ استثناء ہے گوشہ نشین ہونے کے لیے تو وہ استثناء ہر شخص کے لیے نہیں ہے, اور اتنا بھی آسان نہیں ہے کہ ایک عالم کہے کہ اب میں گوشہ نشین ہو جاؤں کیونکہ یہ حدیث اس طرح سے کہتی ہے. اس شخص نے کوشش کی اور امام کو پتہ تھا کہ اس نے حد الامکان کوشش کی اور صحیح انداز میں کوشش کی. ہم جب کوشش کرنے نکلتے ہیں, لوگوں کی اصلاح کرنے نکلتے ہیں, ان کے ساتھ انٹریکشن کرنے نکلتے ہیں, ہم بجائے اس کے کہ ان کی اصلاح کریں ہم گناہ کر کے نکلتے ہیں. ہم خود باعث شرم آئمہ معصومین کے لیے بنتے ہیں اصلاح کرنے والا. تو یہاں پہ آگا جو مسئلہ ہے نا ایمان کا, ایمان کے لیے انسان کے پاس اتنی طاقت ہونی چاہیے کہ وہ اصلاح کرے لوگوں کے ساتھ, انٹریکشن کرے, اخلاق کے دائرے میں رہ کے کرے, ان لوگوں کو متوجہ کرے جو کینسر ہیں اس کمیونٹی کے, کہ تم لوگ یہ ختم کر دو, یہ جو کام کر رہے ہو کمیونٹی کے اندر انتشار لا رہے ہو ان کو ختم کر رہے ہو, تم لوگ اس کام کو چھوڑ دو. اور اگر یہ سب کام کیا ہے اور اچھے انداز سے کیا اور صحیح سمت میں کیا ہے تو پھر آپ اس حدیث کا سہارا لے سکتے ہیں کہ بھائی ایک ایسا وقت آ گیا کہ جہاں پہ ہمیں گوشہ نشینی کے علاوہ اور کوئی چارہ نہیں. لیکن صرف ایسے نہیں, ہمارے ساتھ مسئلہ کیا ہوتا ہے کہ ہم ائمہ کے حدیثوں کو اپنے مطابق اس کی تعویل کر لیتے ہیں, جیسے قرآن کی آیات کی تعویل خود ہی سے کر لیتے ہیں, بلائے کہ بھی قرآن یہ کہہ رہا ہے, اسی طرح سے ائمہ کی بھی کر لیتے ہیں. اگر آپ ایمان کے حوالے سے ایک حدیث کو دیکھ کے ایمان کو سمجھنا چاہیں گے آپ کبھی بھی نہیں سمجھیں گے. آپ کو ہر حدیث جو ایمان کے ٹاپک پہ آئی ہے اس کو اکٹھا کرنا ہے اور اس کے ہر زاویے کو دیکھ کے ایمان کی تعریف کرنی ہے, اور وہ ایمان مختلف چیزوں کے اندر جب مبتلا ہوگا ایک مختلف رد عمل آپ کو دکھانا ہوگا. صحیح ہے, ہر ایک طرح کا رد عمل آپ ہر جگہ پہ نہیں دکھا سکتے. صحیح ہے, آپ کو اس سینیروں کے وہاں سے پھر پتہ لگے گا, بصیرت آئے گی کہ مجھے یہ رد عمل دکھانا. کوئی اور anything else? This was in Urdu, so I said in Urdu. Yes. ہاں سلام علیکم جب ہم کہتے ہیں تو جمع کا صیغہ لگا رہے ہوتے ہیں. اگر جب جمع کا صیغہ عربی کے اندر اگر کسی کے لیے لگایا جاتا ہے تو ایک تو یہ عزت افزائی ہے, اور آپ جس طرح سے ہم انگلش کے اندر کبھی ایسے بھی ہو جاتا ہے کہ کہتے ہیں کہ دے سیڈ دیٹ, اسپیشلی ہمارے یو نو the British side of respect is, I mean, they do give quite a bit of respect, sir, and, you know, your honorable, your highness, you know, they're used to saying your highness, there are, so, sometimes I've noticed that, especially, I don't know if you do that or not, instead of saying he said that, they say, they said that. In many other languages too, the plural is used for respect. Anha guftan, they said it. Ishan Guftan. Ishan, it's like they said, but it's saying he, but in the verb is using the plural. When we see in the
Hadith, it is written that
جی ہم اپنے آپ کو نہیں دے رہے ہوتے, ہم اپنے دوسرے مومن کو دے رہے ہوتے ہیں. ٹھیک ہے نا, اور ایسا نہیں ہے کہ اگر ہم نے اپنے لیے جمع کا صیغہ استعمال کر لیا ان کے لیے نہیں کیا تو ان کی کوئی ماشاء اللہ کم ہوگا. جی میں اپنے لیے آپ کو بتاتا ہوں. دیکھیں اگر ہمارا جو ایک دوسرے کے ساتھ ریلیشن شپ ہے نا, ہمارا ایک دوسرے کے ساتھ ولایت کا رشتہ ہے, میں آپ کا ولی ہوں آپ میرے ولی ہیں. صحیح ہے, ائمہ معصومین علیہم السلام سب کے ولی ہیں. ٹھیک ہے, میں آپ ان کو جب کیونکہ اسپیسیفکلی ہماری زیارت ہوگی ایک امام کے لیے نا, تو ہم اسپیسیفکلی وہ القاب لے کر آئیں گے اس ایک امام کے لیے, جو کہ باقی کے اماموں کے بھی لیے بھی وہ القاب جو ہیں وہ صادق ہیں. حسن اگر آپ یہ کہتے ہیں السلام علیکم یا امام صادق علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام, یہ جو امام صادق ہیں یہ جو ٹائٹل لقب وہ امام حسین کے لیے بھی آپ استعمال کر سکتے ہیں. امام حسین بھی صادق ہیں, امام حسین بھی زین العابدین ہیں, امام حسین بھی کاظم ہیں, امام حسین بھی ٹھیک ہے تقی اور نقی. تو معاملہ کیا ہے کہ ہماری وہ زیارتوں کے اندر اسپیسیفکلی اسی امام کے حوالے سے ہو رہے, جہاں پہ ہماری زیارتوں میں سب ائمہ کو مخاطب کیا گیا ہے وہاں پہ جو ہے وہ جمع کا صیغہ جو ہے وہ لگایا گیا ہے. ٹھیک ہے, اور اس طرح سے بھی ہوتا ہے کہ اگر آپ یہ عربی کے جمع کا صیغہ لگا رہے ہیں, اگر آپ کہنا چاہیں السلام علیکم رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ آپ کہہ سکتے ہیں, لیکن ہمارے درمیان میں جو رواج ہو گیا ہے اس طرح اگر کوئی شخص اندر آتا ہے وہ کہتے ہیں السلام علیکم, اس نے سب کو سلام کیا, اس میں سے ایک اگر جواب دے دیتا ہے تو کافی ہے. ٹھیک ہے, اس کے علاوہ جو اس کا ایک اور پہلو ہے وہ یہ ہے کہ جمع کے صیغے سے انسان جو ہے وہ انا اور انانیت جو ہے وہ تھوڑی سی اس کے اندر کم ہوتی ہے, اور آپ کا صرف وجود ایک لیول پہ نہیں ہے. آپ سے کہنا کہ جسم جو آپ کا لوئسٹ لیول ہے اور روح آپ کی ہائیسٹ لیول ہے, اس کے علاوہ آپ کے ارد گرد بھی, یہ کوئی سائی فائی بات نہیں کرنے لگا, آپ کے ارد گرد ملائکہ بھی ہے. ٹھیک ہے نا, جو مثلا جو بھی مثلا آپ کہیں گے ملائکہ بھی آپ کے ساتھ ساتھ ہیں, کم سے کم وہ تو چلتے ہیں جنہوں نے حساب کتاب لکھنا ہوتا ہے وہ تو نہیں جاتے. تو اس کے بہت سارے پہلو ہیں, لیکن اس میں یہاں پہ پہلو جو ہے وہ دعا کا سب سے امپورٹنٹ ہے کہ آپ ایک دوسرے کو جو ہے وہ دعا دے رہے ہیں. یہاں سب سارے سوال آپ لوگ ہی پوچھتے ہیں, آگے صف پچھلی والی صف سے نہیں پوچھتی.
ایک سلوات پڑھیں تاکہ انشاءاللہ دماغ ہمارے کھل جائے. اللہ صلی محمد و آل محمد.
انشاءاللہ دماغ تو آپ کھلے ہوئے ہیں. جی اگر جو نیئر ڈیتھ ایکسپیرینس ہوتا ہے وہ ایک فینومینا ہے جو کہ پوری دنیا کے اندر آپ کو اس کی ڈاکیومنٹیشن اور اس کی چیزیں ملیں گی. میں اگر چاہیں تو انگلش میں بات کر سکتا ہوں اس کی, کس اصطلاحیں بہت ساری ہیں. سو نیئر ڈیتھ ایکسپیرینس از سم تھنگ دیٹ یو ول فائنڈ ان آل اوور دا ورلڈ. اٹس اے فینومینا دیٹ ہیپنس اینڈ یو ول ہیو پلنٹی آف کیسز ٹو ڈاکیومنٹ ٹو کم ٹو اے پوائنٹ آف کنکلوژن دیٹ اٹ ایکچولی ہیز سم ریالٹی ٹو اٹ. What happens is that a person who gets to so close to the brain not getting the oxygen, scientists they say that there is certain amount of hallucination that happens, and that is hallucination is classified as near death experience, where in the phenomena everybody sees a tunnel, at the end of the tunnel sees the light and it sees himself or herself floating towards that light. It's consistent. What is amazing is that the scientist negating that part is that what they forget is that the Chinese person is also seeing the same thing, and somebody in Europe is also seeing the same thing. I mean, why is it that it is only that specific hallucination with that specific scenario is being projected by everybody? And the people who have this near-death experience, it seems like they are floating on top of themselves. They have a bird's eye view. They can see the doctors, they can see the nurses, they see their own body. And when they come back, they actually tell the doctors, you know, you were saying this, that he's going to die and he's not going to survive. If it's hallucination, how come this person is coming back and telling you facts? Right? So basically what happens is, when you get into that particular state of getting near to death experience, there is a, inside of our bodies, there is a body that it's called Jisma Mithali, and it is the shape and form of our body. It's not the soul, but it is an entity which is a lot lighter than this body. Like if you start looking at the shoulder, you can do this exercise with me. You can start looking at my shoulder here, okay? Just look for about 30 seconds or so. What you will start seeing is an outline around my body of light.
Already nazar
aa rahi hai. Are you nazar aa rahi hai? It's not noor, by the way. It happens to everybody. Okay. If you start focusing on the person's, you know, shoulder, you will see that there is an outline of that whole body. There is a magnetic field that is generated by all of the motion that is inside of our body that is happening, and that magnetic field is very weak, but it is quantifiable. So inside of our bodies is that particular Jisma Mithali, and what happens is when the death comes, this Jisma Mithali has the opportunity to come out and have the bird's eye view. But because they're not going to leave this earth, the connection is not severed completely. So when it comes back, they get out. Okay? And you can also have that experience when you go to sleep. Your Jisma Mithali has the opportunity to go into different places, find out different things. When you wake up, there's that concept of deja vu. Okay? I've done this before. Your body was sleeping in that room, but you went and saw something, for example, somewhere in Iraq or in Iran. And when you get there, you see the same scenario. You say, I've been there before. So that particular experience is there, it's a phenomena, it happens, and how it happens, there are, you know, many different other explanations for it. Some people can do that by will. And in Buddhist spirituality, they get to this exercise where they get to the point where they can disassociate that Jisma Mithali from their body and then travel and then come back. But that doesn't mean that they're on the right path. It just means that if you do the exercise enough, you're able to do that. Okay? There's a lot more mysteries to this universe than what you and I can see with our eyes and sense with our five senses. And slowly, slowly, humanity is starting to realize those mysteries and trying to realize that, you know, there's a lot more to reality than what we perceive. See? आपके एक सवाल हो चुके हैं, अगले भी हाथ उठाए थे,
इस सवाल से निकल आया
था वो, तो फिर निकलता रहेगा।
अब मुझे वो किताब का नाम ज़हन में नहीं आ रहा, ग़ालिबन अल-खिसाल में नजर आई थी, जिसमें पांच अरवाह का तस्करा किया है इमाम
जी ने, बाकी
अरवाहें पांच होती हैं, रूहे मुकद्दस और रूहे शाह, उन पे अगर थोड़ी रोशनी डालनी
हो, या 5 मिनट में तो एक रूह पे भी रोशनी आ सकती
है, कम से कम नाम बदल दे।
मैं इंग्लिश में बता देता हूँ बच्चों के लिए। इन द ओल्ड डेज द बुक्स दैट वर रिटन एज फार एज स्पिरिचुअलिटी इज कंसर्न्ड, देयर वर सर्टेन टर्मिनोलॉजी दैट कुड बी यूज्ड फॉर द पीपल एट दैट टाइम एंड आल्सो फॉर अ लिटिल बिट लेटर ऑन टाइम द पीपल कुड अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट दे वर सेइंग। सो द वर्ड रूह इज समथिंग व्हिच हैज ऑलवेज बीन यू नो इन यूसेज, इट इज इन द कुरान एज वेल, एंड पीपल इन अरबिक लैंग्वेज एंड अदर प्लेसेस लाइक दैट वुड ट्रांसलेट, दे वुड यूज दिस वर्ड। And Ruh was associated to an entity that is not like the body. It is more latif, it is more light, it is, has more freedom, it is able to do a lot more than the soul, than the body can, right? So they said that if you look at a human being, there are certain inclinations inside of a human being. One inclination is the inclination of an animal. So this inclination, they named it this, right? The animal soul. Okay? The instinct of an animal which pulls you towards that animalistic side, then there is an instinct which actually is more similar to that of the trees and the plants. There's an instinct which is more similar to the shaitan. There's an instinct which is similar to more to the angels. There's an instinct which is more similar to being actually a human being and getting to that contentment place with itminan and. So they said, instead of using the word instinct or inclination, they use the word ruh. And that's why maybe you were like, okay, how many ruhs do we have? Karkara ki ek hi hai. Usi ko kharab karte hain. Agar 5 hoti to chalo ek ko kharab kiya, 4 to phir bhi bachti. So inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh yeah, one question that the ladies had said was their question was as far as cleaning of the soul and the ways that you can actually purify yourself. Okay, so again, maybe tomorrow, I was hoping today I could have talked about it, but it didn't come. But just think of this process, from the seed into a little plant, into a tree. Okay, just think about the process, and then when you come tomorrow, just tell me if you have understood the process. And we'll relate that with the purification and cleansing of the soul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, and that this coming month would be an honor and a source for mercy and forgiveness for us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihati wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr.